You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MRUA program. My name's David Ball, and I'm with Aaron Moon and Dean Borg. How are you, fellas?
Well, yeah, well, thanks, Dave. You threw us there. You looked at Dean and said my name. And
threw us right off there, comrade.
Well, thank you. How are you, comrade?
Yes, very good. Very good. It's been an interesting couple of weeks in the world. Obviously, a lot going on in Iran.
Yeah, plenty happening in the world. Before we jump into all the negativity, should we just acknowledge some positivity? Annie's here with us as well, our wonderful producer, who Dave just completely forgot about and ignored. That's right, Annie, got your back.
Good morning.
Nice of him to ignore a beautiful producer on the week of International Women's Day. Yeah, no, well done, that. David.
We'll get on to International Women's Day. We do want to talk a bit about that, but we want to talk a bit about fuel security, and it's a topic that we've spoken about before on this program. The MUA have been running a fuel security campaign for many years because we used to have tankers on the coast. The last tanker to leave the coast was in 2016, called the British Fidelity. There was lots of protests at the time, and now we know why. There's only about 30 days of fuel left in Australia.
Yeah, and it gets worse when we see conflicts like, as you mentioned, Iran and the Strait of Hormuz closed. Now that we're reliant entirely on international markets to get our own domestic fuel reserves, and I think people are starting to see the pinch at the Bowser now, and it's wild too, because the amount that we're going to be seeing increases because of the disruption in the global markets is going to be significantly higher than what it would have cost to put Australian tankers on the coast. So I think that and this could be math from about 5 or 6 years ago now, but I remember we did a study that identified, or got some economic modelling that identified that it'd be 1 cent at the Bowser to put an Australian tanker on the coast. And that would give us security and control over our own fuel and destiny, really. So now we're going to be paying 100 times that.
Well,
the interesting thing about it is of course, it's been policy driven. Successive governments have actually put Australia in this position, knowingly.
No, that's right. And Barnaby Joyce is actually out supporting the Maritime Union at the moment and acknowledging that his government failed to put the correct policies in place.
That's, I don't know. I feel like I want to be on the right side of history, and if Barnaby's on our side, is there something we don't know?
But the problem is I told you so. It's a bit ordinary having to say, I told you so. They could have just used their heads.
Well, it's real ordinary. You're right. And as Dave said, this campaign, the MUAs have run the campaign around fuel security for
decades.
If not more. And you're right. It is one of those points in time where you do say, well, we told you so. But what are they going to do about it?
Yep. And now it needs to be fixed.
Are they going to fix it? Where do we end up?
Well, it's in line with the MUA's policy around getting an Australian strategic fleet, and we need tankers back on the coast, crewed by Australian seafarers, and we'll continue to campaign in that area. And this fuel problem now has just sort of highlighted it.
And highlights the urgency, right? And particularly because it doesn't look like there is a global shift to disarmament or working through things diplomatically. Wars seem to be raging on and on, and the global elite are starting new wars every other day. And whilst ever the global elite need to hide their names from certain files, they go and start wars, and we're gonna see this a compounding effect on fuel security and on just general security as well. But we shouldn't have been shutting down refineries, and we shouldn't have been taking tankers off our coast. And we need to make sure that we've got those, the skills are still available here to be able to man them. And before we lose those skills, we need to get people back up on board them.
Absolutely. We'll move on to International Women's Day. Dean, you and I went down to the rally at Victorian Trades Hall last Friday, and we had a good contingent of MUA women there.
We did, mate. We had a yeah, just fantastic, mate.
I think per capita, the women in our union do a really good job. They're active members and they're active delegates. And for the number of women that we have in the branch, which is only around 150, I think.
I think upwards of that a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're extremely active, and working in a male-dominated industry is always difficult and challenging for women. But the MUA have always been supporting them, and we celebrated International Women's Day. The theme of the event this year was Balance the Scales, focusing on achieving fair, inclusive, and accessible justice for all women and girls. So, to all the women unionists out there and all the women out there, all the best. We've got a song for you today. There's
Before you go
plenty.
on, before you go on to the song, one of the things that came out of the rally was that there's more women in as members of unions now than men. So the 54% are now women, which I would put forward the notion that it makes it even more important that there is equality within pay and conditions. And the other thing is, in the interviews that I've done with people from the CFMEU, women from the CFMEU, and the plumbers, people like that, they all talk about how, and a lot of them, some of them are sort of single mums and stuff like that. By being able to work in these industries, they actually get paid enough money to be able to run a household. If they don't work in industries that have been pushed for proper conditions and proper wages, and that's
Traditional
mainly,
women's industries.
as opposed to generally women's industries. So what we're saying is we've got a culture that actually deliberately works against the interests of women. But it's an interesting statistics, and it also means that it makes a big difference not just to the women and their households, but to the children as well.
Absolutely. So here's a song for all the women out there. It's called by a band called No Doubt, I'm Just a Girl.
Off my eyes, I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. 'Cause I'm just a girl, a little lonely. Well, don't let me out of your sight. Oh, I'm just a girl, already a
I hope you enjoyed that song, members and listeners to 3CR Radio. You're back with the Fire Up MUA program. My name's David. You're with Dean and Aaron. We're about to do an industrial report. I think we first talk about Sea Road Ferries, Aaron.
Yes, Sea Road Ferries is the ferry from Sorrento across to
Queenscliff.
And it's a car ferry and passenger ferry. Not to be confused with our members down at Sea Roads Shipping. It's a completely different company. But we're down there and we've had a stream of new members coming in at the ferries, the Sorrento ferries and Sorrento Queenscliff ferries, I should say, and across their broader business as well. And what we've seen is there's been some pretty shocking allegations or stories, I guess, not allegations, but we've been informed of some pretty shocking stories around safety down there. And we want to make sure that every single maritime worker that goes to work each day returns safely and is on board a vessel that has a company that prioritises their safety. So, and that when these incidents do occur, they aren't just swept under the rug or squashed or hidden away, that they're able to be investigated, able to be understood by the workforce, and that we've got input in making sure that they don't occur again. So that includes everything from trips and falls and general hazards that every workplace faces to violent members of the public. But there needs to be processes in place and policies in place and procedures in place that protect our workers in the first instance, and then make sure that we prevent any of these accidents from occurring.
Mm. And there was a recent issue down there that I've seen through the press that a crew member was bashed quite severely
by
extremely violent passenger, which it hasn't seemed to really make it into the mainstream, into the media or the press. But when we hear things like these, it raises real concerns for us and for those individuals working on those vessels down there. So,
yeah, absolutely. And look, our primary interest almost always is the safety of our members. It's a dangerous industry we work in, so we want to make sure that any sorts of potential risks that arise, we take a proactive approach to getting rid of them, not a reactive approach that the company has had by sweeping it under the rug and pretending like it didn't happen. We want to make sure this never happens again.
Well, that's the whole thing about OH&S, isn't it? OH&S is all about near misses, all the statistics to do with actual events, so that you can actually put in plans to make sure that it doesn't happen. So sweeping them under the rug is a really foolish reaction.
Absolutely.
On to a bit of a report about TT Line. We can report that Spirit 4 has just arrived in Williamstown at the BAE Wharf. Yep, it'll be alongside there for a period of time while it gets a bit of work done on it before heading to dry dock, I think, in Singapore. But it'll be on the run. TT Line are now selling tickets for the new vessels to start on the 31st of October. So that's exciting for TT Line.
Will their ramps be ready?
Well, there's a few things that still needed to be sorted out, how they get passengers on and off the ship, but I'm sure that'll be sorted out before then. And Spirit 5 has left Scotland and is on its 42-day voyage to Australia. It'll come into Geelong to start with before heading down to Hobart to get some fitting done from Tasmanian businesses. So things are looking up for TT Line.
They're selling tickets. That's good, because I remember the marketing department once changed the operating hours without reading the EA. So I hope they've gone through and consulted as a business a bit more broadly to ensure that it can be done. But surely I know that our members are there ready to get the work done. It's just whether or not management has the capability.
Absolutely. And I spent a couple of days down in Tassie last week doing the preliminary plans for their new EA, which expires June 30th this year, and we're trying to set up some meetings for that going forward. So it's not a great time to be negotiating an EA with a company that's bankrupt or just about bankrupt. But Tasmanian government's bankrupt too, so that doesn't help. But anyway, we'll sort it out, and I'm sure we'll be able to get a little
Well,
rest from
bankrupt
them.
is an accounting term. There's money there to pay our guys.
That's right.
There's always money there. We know that.
And on another Bass Strait shipping line, Dean, I know you've started negotiations with Straitlink, or
We are,
about
mate,
to.
our commencing, mate. Our first meeting will be happening this week with our committee. So I'll be going through the log of claims and in preparation for kicking off for what we've been advised by the company. They'll be ready to go in April at some time. So we want to be well prepared for this one, mate, and we will be. We've got a great committee on the job who's dedicated to getting a good outcome for this one without giving too much away. That's where we're at the minute, but we're prepared and we'll be ready to go once the company gives us a green light.
And then once you get there, one knocked over, they come to be straight into our stevedoring one down at Straitlink as well.
Yeah, well, they've got a busy time, old
Busy.
Straitlink Management. They've got our one, they imputed AMOU all due at the same time on the vessels,
And
and then
then
be rolling
the Seafarers in November.
into the stevedoring one in November. So, yeah, busy year for Straitlink, mate. On the EA front, we
And they've been sold.
and they've been sold, which still sit with the ACCC at the minute.
Should be finished by the end of the month, I reckon.
Should be finished by the end of the month. So,
Who are they being
we don't.
sold to?
Oh, just another investment firm. Somebody with more money.
Okay,
All
all right.
it was Ignio is
Yeah.
the firm that they've been sold to. So the Allegro, they were Toll and then Japan Post and then Allegro and now to Ignio. But like all sales, that's our members are only impacted by a change of
Uniform.
uniform quite often, and the one thing, sometimes they change some management. They change management, change the uniform. The one thing that is consistent on the waterfront is the Maritime Union of Australia's members.
You know,
Been there.
one positive thing that we have sort of been, we can identify out of that sale is that the Ignio are in it for the long term, from what we've been told, which is good. And it gives us, a bit of security, for the membership. We all obviously want the business to be successful and be around for the long haul. So that's a positive thing. So
Yeah,
bigger and better things to come.
absolutely. And just while we're on Straitlink, I probably would be remiss of me not to say congratulations to the stevedoring delegates. They've all just been re-elected unopposed. The nominations process closed last week, and they've all been now renominated. The nominations process closed, and they've all been re-elected unopposed. And we will that'll mean we can start the process for building our log of claims for bargaining later in the year.
Excellent.
So congratulations, comrades.
No, that's great news. And also, our organiser, Jason's not here today, but he's been busy down at Cube Energy. Aaron, I know you know a bit about that.
He has been. He's been down at Cube Energy, consistently every week. Cube Energy operate out of Barrie Beach, which is down in South Gippsland. And their agreement doesn't expire for 18 months or so, but the company's commenced bargaining, trying to get another non-union agreement across the line, and has thrown them a $10,000.
Sign-on bonus?
Well, yeah, I well. There's a word that,
Bribery.
well,
A
no, I can't
carrot.
use that word. The
Oh,
lawyers have said no.
yeah.
It's not bribe. Well, maybe it's bribery. Only Cube's managers would be able to answer as to whether or not it's a bribe. So we'll put that question to them, Cube management. Feel free to respond and let us know if, in fact, it's a bribe or if there are some other motivations. Because what is pretty clear is if you they're offering that to try and keep the union out, we suspect. We would strongly encourage our members down there not to accept that. We've done a quick analysis, well, not a quick analysis. Jason did a fairly detailed analysis of our members at Melbourne compared to the paying conditions of the guys down in Barry's Beach, and even with the $10,000 or $14,000 worth of sign-on bonuses, in inverted com in air quotes or whatever they're called. Even with those, the workers down there are still 90 grand worth worse off on a conservative estimate over the life of a four-year agreement compared to having an MUA negotiated one. So just think about the sugar hit that you lose a chunk of it in tax anyways, and it's not in your best, it's not in the best interest of workers to sell out our conditions for a sugar hit of $6,000 or $7,000 in the hand when we could achieve much better outcomes collectively and by taking the fight up to the boss.
You know, it's a little bit like the ASU at the rally the other day. They were talking about how the social services workers some of them got a 23% to 45% increase in pay over a time, right? And the last time they battled for changes. And I started to think, my God, how low was their wages that they got 45% increase? Which is a bit like this.
Yeah. They must have been quite far behind. Certainly know the last time that we got a 46 at VCT, and that was because they were well lagging our industry. So I imagine those social workers must have been well behind what is a reasonable standard of pay.
Yeah, and that's a problem down at the Port of Apollo Bay for our workers down there. They've come from the Colac Otway Shire agreement, not from our industry, yet they're doing our industry's work. They're wharf carpenters and driving the dredge down there in Apollo Bay. So we're hoping to get them a big uplift in their salaries and conditions through the Great Ocean Road Committee EA that I'm about to commence negotiating. So that'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Will be. Now, one last report. I've got the immediately following this, I'm heading down to the DP World ERC meetings. There's been constant reports from DP World around the automation, and we'll be launching a report in Canberra next week and holding a rally up there around automation, not only in DP World and stevedoring, but across our industry broadly, and the impact AI will have on workers, AI and automation. I appreciate the two separate things, but that they'll have on workers more broadly than just the maritime industry. But we're certainly facing it in our industry now, and we've also got a number of disputes. It's almost like DP World was like, didn't bother holstering the gun after we had our fight for the new EA, and so we've got disputes around VSE availability that are in the commission. There'll be another dispute around that today, I would suspect, just because we've noticed that they're not even locking out the correct dates, even if they were right in what they're able to do, which we say they're not quite clearly. There are a number of disputes happening there, and that includes the outsourcing of escorts and not paying public holidays properly and things like that. But we're slowly working through a list as long as my arm of disputes down at DP World.
Never-ending story, mate.
Oh, it's the gift that keeps giving.
So there you go, comrades. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to go out with another song by No Doubt called Sunday Morning.
Thanks, comrades. Have a good day.
Thank you, comrades. See ya. Comrades.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.